This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time, and I have found the most intriguing thing post the election in all these picks is RFK Jr. The others, you know, we've been back and forth with. Pam Bondi, great pick. But RFK Jr. can have the most consequence on several fronts. Joining us to break some of that down is a guy who, the resume is incredible. Dr. Martin Kulldorff is a biostatistician, author of the Great Barrington Declaration. Remember that? Remember the battle over that? Scientific director at the Brownstone Institute and a founding fellow at Hillsdale College's Academy for Science and Freedom. Science and freedom. The thing that jumped out at me, though, he's developed many groundbreaking methods for nearly real-time drug and vaccine safety surveillance that the FDA and CDC use to monitor drug and vaccine safety. Spent the last two decades working on infectious disease outbreak detection and monitoring. Headline of an article that he wrote, world-renowned vaccine scientist RFK is right. Let's study vaccine risk factors. Let's go to Dr. Martin here on Talk Radio 1210. Dr. Martin, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the whole thing with RFK Jr., do you think the major debate is going to be over vaccine? It seems as if food processors, big junk food and all that are putting the most pressure on him. Where do you think this is going to be, that where his confirmation hangs in the balance?
Well, I think both the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry probably don't like this appointment. But I think it's important because we have to return to evidence-based medicine and evidence-based public health that was ignored or thrown out the window during the pandemic by CDC and NIH and FDA. Just one example is that they denied natural infection-acquired immunity. If you had COVID, you didn't need a vaccine because you already had superior immunity from having recovered. So that's something we've known about for 2,500 years about natural immunity. So they have to ignore basic scientific facts. And we have to get back to evidence-based medicine. And one of the three goals that RFK has mentioned for as the Secretary of Health is to go back to evidence-based medicine.
Now, does that mean, I'm asking you as professionally then, what vaccines are we talking? Are we going to go back and reinvestigate the polio vaccine? Some of the basics, some of the things that I think from afar seem to be settled science, or is it things related to COVID? And, you know, and doctor, we're near New Jersey. We border on New Jersey. Their schedule of vaccines mandatory for kids. It seems like we add one or two every 5 years. So it's mind-boggling how many that are there. What do you mean by looking at this again?
Well, I'm a huge fan of vaccines. I think vaccines are extremely important for public health. But even after a vaccine has been approved, you have to evaluate the efficacy and safety of vaccines. And we failed with the COVID vaccines, but there are still things we need to know about the childhood vaccines. For example, they used to contain thimerosal, which is a mercury-containing preservative in the vaccines. And RFK and others, I think, very rightly argued against that, and they have been removed from most of the vaccines. So that's a good thing. But there are other aspects of vaccines that we need to study. And some research from Denmark have sort of shown that vaccines can have effects not only on the targeted disease, but it can have either positive or negative effects on other infectious diseases. And that's something we need to know more about. So we have to, just like with drugs, we have to study the vaccine safety and efficacy, even if we've had the vaccines. And they change sometimes also, they improve the vaccines, but then you also have to study the new vaccines.
So, doctor, things like we're getting toward autism and vaccines. What's your thought on it? And what would you do if you encapsulate it? Because we read all kinds of things back and forth. I've seen multitude of I've interviewed him over the years, RFK Jr. on autism and vaccine. Where does he land? And first of all, where do you land?
Well, autism has increased, and it's not only a more diagnosis. I think it actually is increasing, and we don't know why it's increasing. And that's critically important to find out why. But we have to sort of study a variety of potential things, not just vaccines. In terms of vaccines, the mercury was a suspect, and that was removed of the vaccines, but we still have increasing autism, so that didn't solve the problem. There has been speculation about the measles containing vaccines causing autism, but that has been shown that that's not true. That vaccine is not the culprit of autism. But we need to find out what's causing this increasing risk of autism, as well as why are we have increasing of asthma, allergy, diabetes in young children are going up. So there's many chronic diseases in young children, and we need to find out what's causing it, and we need to do something about it.
Yeah, without a doubt. The fear of legitimate people, not those that have a vested interest in this, that say everything is settled science because it fits their pocket or their worldview, is we're seeing now numbers of people not getting their kids vaccinated. I'm talking the basics at a young age. How do we deal with that while also churning what we're going to see with RFK Jr.?
Well, I think that the COVID vaccine was extremely detrimental to vaccine confidence.
Yes.
Nothing before has done more to increase hesitation about vaccinations, because children should not be vaccinated with the COVID vaccine. That was never necessary. European countries are not doing it. And the denial of infection acquired immunity, that by CDC and others, that's a really increased vaccine hesitancy. And that's unfortunate, because they are very important vaccines, like the measles vaccine is very important. So we have to try to, by returning to evidence-based medicine, we will hopefully eventually sort of get back the integrity and trust of the medical establishment. But that's going to take a long time.
Without a doubt. Do you have a sense of the other areas now that we're going to see? I mean, I think it's incontrovertible what's in our foods, we can deal with that better. And it is a causal element to some level of chronic disease. What do you think we're going to hear from RFK Jr. around that?
It is a problem with what we eat. And I hope that it will be two-pronged. One is to look at the ingredients of the food, but it's also what we eat. We should eat healthy. I mean, what all our mothers said, to eat our vegetables, and that's what we should eat. And we should eat less sodas and drink less sodas and stuff. So it's important to eat healthy. But that's not an easy thing to change either. So it's also important to exercise, of course.
Do you have any interest in being part of the HSS? We've talked to other people that are, if RFK Jr. is confirmed.
I have no idea. I will help whatever I can, but I don't think that's going to happen probably for me. But there are other very good candidates.
Okay.
For example.
Parting question for you. So walk us through when we see the confirmation and we see what's going on. Often these senators in many areas are unskilled on what they're asking, even if the intention is good. What do you hope comes out of the confirmation hearings, that America learns? This article, you went through a lot of things, I guess, that you hope we learn.
Well, I hope during the confirmation that there will be an emphasis on evidence-based medicine and public health, and how that failed us during the pandemic, and how important it is that when we make decisions about health, that we have solid scientific information to make those decisions, as well as there are situations where we don't know what the answer is. And then as scientists, we have to be very honest about that.
Absolutely. Where's the best place for people to find you and find your work?
They can find me on X or Twitter, where I post things. So that's a good place.
And what's your handle there, Dr. Martin?
It's my name, Martin Kulldorff.
Spelled Kulldorff. Dr. Martin, thank you. We hope to you have a great holiday, and maybe we can talk again once the confirmation hearing starts.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on.
You are welcome. Dr. Martin Kulldorff here on Talk Radio 1210. This is going to be the showdown, more so, I think, even than Hegseth, where there's going to be real debate around this. And again, I asked him, we're seeing fewer and fewer people, basic vaccination, polio, measles, he mentioned, et cetera, and he's on board with doing that. As far as autism and vaccine, it's good to take another look at it to figure out why the rate of autism. I've come around to the camp, and we've had people that back that up. We're better able to diagnose it. We designate more people to be on the spectrum, and that's one of the reasons why we have more of it. Could be other things. That's fair enough, but the vaccine part, let's face it, that was part of the allure of RFK Jr. for possible Trump supporters. All goes back to COVID. It goes back to, and he was correct, younger kids, even teenagers, boys, making that choice very difficult for parents. But the bottom line is there wasn't information out there about the injury, myocarditis, et cetera, that we're still seeing play out. All right, 855-839-1210. We got the distinctive voice, and tell us, is it one when you hear it? What is it brings back to you? Is it positive, negative? Hit us with that. It's all in the call. We'll get the winner today, and I think we're playing for Letters to Trump for the week. In addition to that, we're going to talk with Bill Hamilton, head of the Teamsters across vast region. I mean, across many states, it's on the Eastern Seaboard. He's been on with us before. Good guy. And he talked about, yeah, I'm going to release this poll of my members, how they feel toward Trump and Biden and then Harris. And the Inquirer wrote a big piece the other day. They went back and talked to these Teamsters here locally. They did vote for Trump in great numbers. And they talked about why. And one of the main reasons were all these cultural factors. Well, don't they care about their own well-being, the economy? They seem to think Trump is a little bit different than other Republicans. and might be pretty good for them. At least that's the way that I read it. They're willing to give them a chance. And these are the type of people that Trump made a big breakthrough because they're Latino, black, and white. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. All right.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's a bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It is Dom time. Good Friday. So RFK Jr., fast food. Henry DJ just sent this to me. New York Post exclusive interview. 3,000 people. The top fast food restaurant where men take women on a first date revealed. Where do you think it is?
Henry's on the line right now taking calls.
Yeah,
I know the answer.
All right. We'll leave it out there, but... Over 60% of women saying this, which is just amazing to me. Yeah, they're okay with going to McDonald's on a first date. What the hell kind of, what the heck is, I mean, that's preposterous.
Say McDonald's?
Yes. Well, no, it's not McDonald's, but 60% said they'd be okay with McDonald's.
I mean, I don't know if I can throw many stones here because the famous story of me and Maisie's first date of going out to Applebee's and splitting a check for some half-priced apps.
Well, Applebee's is much different than McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Henry, a number one first date location
in
a survey. What do you think it is?
First date, fast food.
Fast food?
Yes.
Wait, is it only fast food or is it just overall?
Only fast food.
Only fast food?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was everything.
Does Panera count?
Now, no. Panera, I could consider it.
Quick service. It's not fast food.
It's Chick-fil-A. But the shocking thing in here, yes, 60% of women said, well, they wouldn't object to it being McDonald's. What the heck is going on? What has Biden done to America here?
The bar is on the floor.
Yeah. God, I just don't see a fast food place. Applebee's is not a fast food place. No, I wouldn't count it as that. You know, in Dan's case, it might be
It's close.
Yeah.
Not much better.
It's got the veneer that's better, a lot better to me than McDonald's.
Yeah.
You can't say McDonald's. What's lower than, I mean, that's.
Like, how do you even approach that? Do you say, hey, baby, you want to go to McDonald's?
McDonald's. Oh my God!
Is that commentary on inflation that we got to go to first?
Well, that's where I was going with it. I was blaming Biden right out of the box. Yes. I'd love to see some. Come on, women are calling in. What would you say if a guy said, "Let's go to McDonald's"? Even in these difficult times, in the Biden years, they say New York Post 60% said that would be okay. They don't say it's great. They say just okay. Chick-fil-A, though, how are you going on a date to Chick-fil-A? I just can't picture that. And I'm trying to picture the ones I know. I don't see a lot of seating or any kind of thing remotely like that.
Bring them through the drive-thru?
Yeah. Eat in the car. There you go. The Biden years, a perfect scenario. The other thing, every holiday, somebody might have to help me. Dan, I don't know if you remember this. There was a very poignant
was it last year, the year before, car ad, and it was for one of the bigger cars. The woman had onset Alzheimer's, but remembered everything when the daughter took her for a drive by the high school and was in a particular vehicle, and things started to come back to her. Well, the hot one this year, you have Jaguar, not showing the car even, and now you have Volvo with this ad of a guy who learns he's going to be the dad, and they go through the timeline, I think it's a 4-minute ad, showing the daughter over various stages of development until she goes off on her own. Beautifully done, heartwarming, you know, sort of connected to the car. But how in the world does Volvo get it, put out an ad like that? So I saw the new guy that's director of development for Jaguar. And Dan, you told me how many were sold in the USA last year?
It was a very minimal number. I think it was 8,000. Like 8, yeah.
Yes. Weren't you surprised?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that's hard to believe.
That's not that many cars, right?
And it's a pricey car, but it's not over 100,000, right? I mean, it's not cheap. But I thought if you asked me that, I would say it's got to be at least 50,000 or so.
Yeah.
But only 8,000.
So just to contextualize that, their competitors, their biggest competitors, right, BMW and Mercedes, right, around 350,000 cars sold by those two.
Porsche also, and Porsche is selling pretty well. And Porsche might be more expensive. So how in the world are they putting out an ad now that is this woke with androgynous people just talking about diversity at the car company? Bud Light, here we come again.
Did you see, too, the rebranding of their logo?
No,
it's awful.
Not.
It's awful. I mean, a lot of people get upset online over the minimalist logo redesigns that a lot of, you know, sports teams or companies do. Mm-hmm. It's terrible. It looks like they're selling Dyson vacuums, or I'm going to see Dune 3. Like, that's what the logo looks like. There's no more Jaguar on it. Like, there's not the literal cat.
Yeah, it's a new guy. Remember the woman that took over? She was 27 at Bud Light and said, oh, we're going to shake things up. They always say this, we have this audience, we're going to add to it. Well, guess what? The audience who actually has money and pays for this stuff, they reject you. I thought the appeal of Bud Light was it was cheap. That's your audience.
I just pulled up this logo redesign. This is horrible.
It's such a downgrade.
It's such a downgrade.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not only a text on, but they also redesigned what's going to go on the front, like the logo. And as Henry said, it's no longer a Jaguar. They took like an artistic version of the J and the R from the Jaguar written logo and made a new circle logo using the J. It looks really bad.
People are not going to buy it just for that alone. That's right. Or they will. I put the other thing on my car. This is, and only 8,000 sold last year.
Is there a cooler hood ornament than the Jaguar? Maybe the Rolls-Royce one, but...
Yeah, it's a very good one. Yeah, definitely. So watch for that. You would think after Bud Light, they learned their lesson. Has Bud Light recovered? We've been through this. Should you let Bud Light go? I guess, yeah. I don't care, but I don't think they have. Once you go down that path, it's very difficult to get back. And here's another big brand on the ropes because of it. Wasn't the last election telling you people are tired of this stuff also? Let's go to Susan in Chester Springs, Talk Radio 1210. So, Susan, anybody ever asked you for a date to McDonald's? What would you say?
Well, I don't eat fast food, so there you go.
All right.
That's no date. You know, I look forward to fast food when we take road trips. That's like my excuse to eat something. A cheeseburger or a chocolate shake, you know, but generally, no, I wouldn't eat it. It's too unhealthy. But I have to say, did you notice after the MSG, the Madison Square Garden victory rally, and they were back on the Trump plane, and there was Musk, and there was Johnson, and there was RFK, and they all were eating McDonald's?
Yeah, I don't think RFK should have done that. I'm in that camp. No. I don't know if he felt he had to do it. But, you know, I mean, come on. He's messing with his brand. He's not into that. You don't have to eat McDonald's, right?
I know. I thought that was him. I guess he felt he had to do it because he had to be one of the boys. I don't know. I like RFK, and I think there are enough voices, if he gets confirmed, to kind of keep control of him so he can't go too crazy. But I think he had some good points, don't you?
Well, absolutely. I'm excited to see where this goes. I just agree. There's got to be some guardrails here because we're dealing with monumental things. He's the most important. He's going to have the biggest legacy if he gets it.
And Hegseth. I think Hegseth, we really need him in there to control these damn political generals. So, but my voice is James Earl Jones. I mean, when he, of course, the Star Wars series, but then when he does the Bible, I don't know if you've heard his rendition of the Bible. It's amazing. I mean, you just have to listen to
it. It's an instrument. Thank you, Susan. Good one, James Earl Jones. We'll take, let me see here. Somebody call him with it. We'll take Elvis off. I should have taken that off early on. You know, the obvious ones. That's more singing. I don't know his actual voice. Well, yeah, Elvis's voice, kind of folksy. I can see that. So RFK Jr. will have impact here that will be big. And there will be a heck of a debate during the confirmation hearings. He has written a lot of stuff. That's always kind of problematic. And he said a lot of stuff about vaccines. So you can cherry pick out of that what you don't like. Now, as far as credibility, Dan, here is the voice of the day that we've talked about, or several people already have, from The View, Joy Behar. But listen to Joy telling us, and I may cut this in the middle here, you can trust The View over someone like Joe Rogan because they're fact-checked by ABC News.
People want us divided, and they aren't just here in this country. They're foreign adversaries who are infiltrating our social media because it is prudent for us to stay that way. But so when you see something that really pisses you off, you should triple check that one.
Yes. But I think that that's why people like our show, because they know that we are checked by ABC News.
What?
But we're checked by everybody.
Yeah. I mean, if we're wrong, we have, you know, the legal note here.
The human legal
note. We went from Walter Cronkite. Mm-hmm. Basically, to this guy Joe Rogan, who believes in dragons. I checked it.
He believes in dragons.
He believes in dragons.
Did you triple force that?
Yes, I did. And he also thinks that the dragons, like I guess, like dinosaur-y type of animals, roamed the earth when people did. So this is the type of really, really bad information that's going out
there. Well, in defense, there are some really good news.
It's possible that Donald Trump did roam the earth when dinosaurs were here.
All right, we got enough of Joy there. So now, because they've been made to read these legal notices, I think they've had to read three about Gates and other things, somehow or another, they're a better source of information. I can't name anything. We can name some things, but they're just an internet show, something like that, that are completely ignorant, misinformation, disinformation. The View is the all-time, though. The all-time disgrace to women. The all-time ignorance. Mixed in with just hatred. ABC checks this stuff. Can you imagine being the fact checker for Sonny Hostin and Joy Behar? All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Bill Hamilton, the head of the Teamsters across our area and beyond. It's a lot of people. I was in the Inquirer yesterday about 8 printed pages of various Teamsters saying whom they voted for and why. And a lot of it was so-called cultural values. Is it just that? Or do they see Trump as being good for the economy, good for their own take-home pay, et cetera? We'll see what he says. How do the unions counter that if they want to remain with Democrats? 855-839-1210. Hey, every Friday night, FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, they're giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First Bets lets you get in on the action from the opening tip. You can bet on things like who'll score the first basket, which team will be the first to 15 points, and a lot more. I don't know if there's anything on there about a rating of how bad the Sixers can be, but God, you don't have to wait the whole game is the point to see if you win. Just look for Friday First in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Dom, D-O-M, to claim your Friday First profit boost and make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 1210 WPHT at 321+, present in Pennsylvania. Opt-in required, max wager amount applies, bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? 1-800-GAMBLER. There you go. That's a very recognizable voice joining us. Ah, this resume. I feel like I need a shop steward. This is a lot to read here every time we have him on. Bill Hamilton, president, Pennsylvania Conference of Teamsters, representing 96,000 Teamsters in the Pennsylvania area. Also, president, Joint Council 53, Eastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey. President of Local 107 in Philadelphia and International Eastern Region VP since 2008. In his spare time, he's a guest here. All right, so we talked with him a couple times.
What spare time?
Yes, a couple times about what happened with the National Teamsters when they released that poll that had Trump well ahead, as I remember it. And then locally, they released a poll. The Inquirer, 8 printed pages the other day, interviewed Bill and a lot of Teamsters here. And a lot of them did vote for President Trump. One guy, I think his name was Farley, I don't have it in front of me, at the end of the piece said he was voting for his children. He was voting for America, not necessarily, in his view, on union issues. All right, so let's go to Bill here on Talk Radio 1210. So, Bill, welcome back, first of all, and thank you that you did release your poll. Question for you then. Do you try to dissuade these people from Trump by saying you ought to be voting on union and Trump is bad on union issues? Or do you try to counter them on the cultural issues, which may have overwhelmed the other issues?
Well, thanks for having me back, Dom. I appreciate it. And it's a good question because at the end, we weren't trying to dissuade our members from voting for Trump. What we were trying to do is educate them on some of the things that the Republican Party had put out prior. Now, having said that, one of the interesting things I saw through this whole process was our own members were more becoming involved in the social issues and the border, immigration, and the lack of forthcomings from the Democratic Party about what they're going to do with the economy, what they're going to do for jobs, what they're going to do for unions. They were strangely silent. And the last month of the campaign, I think the Democratic Party and the far left had a major impact on the messaging that quite frankly, middle class working white families, which we represent a bundle of in our union, were fed up with it. And, you know, they didn't want to hear all the nonsense. And I find it quite interesting that we have monthly meetings and we have great participation. Well, the month before the election, in October's meeting, we had a third of the people we usually have. They were tired of all the back and forth. And, you know, at our meeting this past week, the Inquirer reached out to me and asked if they could come to the meeting and interview the members. And I said, absolutely. I thought it was a great meeting we had on Sunday, and the members spoke. They delivered their message, and we have to support that message. And Donald Trump is our president. We have to get behind him and make sure he succeeds. We don't want a president of the United States.
I'm not saying you do. But Bill, I would offer now. Look, you know my ideology, too. I'll admit to that. But logically, the Democrats can answer this. Because that big spending, the inflation, Hakeem Jeffries, you were busy doing your union stuff, Bill, but he was on The View today, majority leader, or the minority leader, really, in the House, and he said it was the economy, the cost of living is too high. Well, they rightfully pointed toward who it is that caused that. We know what causes that spending, and they rejected that, and they rejected continuously being told, well, the economy's fine. Why don't you see that?
Well, it's funny that I didn't see Hakeem Jeffries' interview today, obviously, but after the fact, they admit that they missed the messaging. They obviously didn't reach any of our members or the majority of two-thirds of our members. They didn't reach them, and the messaging failed. They didn't reach out on the economy. And quite frankly, they were hammered on a lot of social issues that they failed to answer. You know,
I always thought, and you're an example. You've told us about your service background, knowing the building trades. They're the ones I used to. Even when we debate, they were patriotic Americans above the norm of patriotism even. And I always thought, well, then on these social issues, when is that going to crack? And my theory is it took a special kind of Republican, Trump, to kind of break through. But the issues were always there.
I agree, Dom. And it's funny because you're right. Trump broke through on those and that criteria, because I think in the past people tried to ignore it and not talk about it. And it's come to the front of the line now. And when Trump started, President-elect Trump started talking about it and making the commercials, some of the commercials really hit home. Those commercials were brilliant that the Republican Party was running about the immigration and you know, even the transgender stuff hit home to a lot of our members.
Well, I was going to ask you Bill. I wrote a piece right before the election, the sleeper issue. They spent $33 million on it. I would guess if I could talk to your members to a person, I think they would say, no, we don't think boys or men ought to be in women's sports, for example.
I think several of our members identified that to the Inquirer reporter and said that was one of the biggest things that affected their thinking and logic in this election. They didn't want to hear that nonsense. And, you know, I quite frankly don't agree with it either. So it's hard for me to defend a position that is indefensible. And that's one of them. And that hit home with a lot of our members.
I think if Joe Biden had been in there, even Joe Biden, who clearly is diminished due to his labor record, that might have won things home. But if you take almost any other Democrat, Bill, that I see out there now, they're going to have to try to camouflage what the base of the party is. How does Josh Shapiro, for example, do with your members? Because he espouses several of the things that they seem to reject the policy on.
Yeah, well, I think there's a reason why Josh Shapiro didn't. I don't think he wanted to be this term running. I think that he saw the flaws and the cracks. And look, Josh is every politician says stuff and stuff comes back to haunt them. But Josh Shapiro is a solid leader in Pennsylvania. Our guys love Josh Shapiro. He comes to our meetings. He talks to our people. And he's a down-to-earth guy. And look, he's a working-class guy. He supports a lot of our issues. And I think Josh himself would tell you that he didn't like some of the things that the Democratic Party was doing. He certainly supported them as a Democratic governor, mm-hmm. which I would expect. But I don't think a lot of the top politicians, Whitmer, Josh Shapiro, really were enthusiastic about the messaging that this campaign was putting out. And the Democrats have a lot of work to do to rebuild their party. I got to tell you, I mean, we have a solid base of Democratic voters in our local and in our joint council. And it's very difficult to have a conversation. That's why you didn't see anybody come to the meeting the month before the election. Yeah. They just wanted to get away from it all.
I hear you. We're talking with Bill Hamilton, the president of the Teamsters, across the vast area here. So, Bill, parting question. What is it now for Trump to kind of seal the deal here to keep this going with members? Is there a big issue or what are you hearing they'd like to see to continue this bond with the Republican Party, which in this election was historic?
Well, I think President-elect Trump needs to reach out to the working class people after he's in office. He said he supports the working class people. You have to take him at his word. If he does what he says he's going to do, and appoint a labor-friendly Secretary of Labor, that would be a real reach out to the unions in this country. And I believe he's going to do that. And I believe that he sees a long-term future, and he sees a Democratic Party in disarray. And if I was a Republican of any stature, I would be taking advantage of the lack of messaging from the Democratic Party. And they've got a lot to do to rebuild themselves. And labor's part of it. And we're not happy. Our members aren't happy. And the last month of that campaign was atrocious, I thought, and I don't think it delivered a message. So, yeah, our members, and I told them on Sunday, you've got to put all your differences aside, stop arguing with each other. You've got a new president. We got to get behind him. We got to make sure he succeeds. And if he succeeds, we're all in a better place.
Absolutely. Bill, have a great Thanksgiving. One of the pleasures of this campaign was having you on, and we'll continue to do that. You are a straight shooter. Your people are glad that they have you. Thank you, Bill, very much.
Thanks for having me on, Dom. I appreciate it.
All right, Bill Hamilton and Henry, thank you for getting him on. That's a good encapsulation. Now, if you're going to defeat Josh Shapiro, then you got to gather, and that's why I asked Bill, how he's perceived by people. Now, you know how I see him as the great camouflager, and I do think this transgender issue with him right now, he's on the other side of it, clearly. Now, he's more skilled than some of them at spinning on this. But he is not a moderate. Yet, there are a good number of people in Pennsylvania. You heard George Pichetto speak well of him in some regards. I don't see that. I see this guy as somebody who is a major, major threat moving forward. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. Hit us with that voice that's unrecognizable. We got that going on. We got Dom's Money Melody a little bit later on. We'll get a winner for the week. Don't forget Monday, though. Thanks to Greg Stocker, Dan, and Henry helping with the planning. This has been, and Jim Worthington and his staff. I mean, it's they do big events. Free food, beverages, all these people that you'll want to meet. You might have run into Scott Presler, but Linda Kearns, Jim Worthington, and a cast of others that really helped to push Trump over the line in Pennsylvania, almost overwhelmingly. Just think of all the things that needed to be done. I would have never guessed that we wouldn't have had days of counting and all the rest in Pennsylvania. Trump had the momentum at the end, but I thought there'd be a real battle. This was relatively easy in the end. You heard what Bill Hamilton said. Trump's got a breakthrough here. How do you seal the deal on this? You heard some of the things his members are saying. But then you have a Josh Shapiro there, better than the certainly Kamala Harris and the others. How do you contend with that? 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hey, my friend and dentist, board-certified prostodontist Dr. Robert Bentz of the Bentz Dental Group in East Norriton. 10 years, great dental care. And I've seen from the very beginning his emphasis on technology versus other dentists. I mean, we've all been to several dentists over the course of time. Technology in the diagnosis so that he sees things that other dentists are just missing. I mean, he's incredibly skilled but methodical in doing this. And then when it comes to making your teeth these great outcomes, precise, consistent, he has a guy, John, who's been doing this for years with him, who's an artisan in making your teeth. But with the technology blended in with that, you're just not going to find this anywhere. If you go and you get an evaluation, you can see what I'm talking about. I can remember in the one time going up there and saying, what the heck is this? And the cost, this is years ago, of putting that kind of technology in. But it pays off in the dental care that you get and the outcomes. Sometimes stuff that really prevent big trouble down the line. That's what you want in a dentist. You want buy-in. You want to know what you're doing and the outcomes and how you're going to get there. Why not just get that initial appointment? You'll see what I'm talking about with the Bentz Dental Group. You can do that one of two ways. Call 610-272-6949 or visit BentzDentalGroup.com. They're there right now. Bentz Dental Group, say it with a smile. Call them, though. 610-272-6949.
They're running a strange program, y'all.
It's Dan time.
I can handle things. I'm smart. I'm like everybody says.
With Dom.
That's right. It's that time of the afternoon. Producer Dan takes over the Dom Giordano program for some Dan time with Dom. And Dom, I'm pleasured to say some of our callers, Mike and Hamilton, remember that I'm not a Borowski guy, has made his way onto other shows now, calling into none other than the Rich Zeoli show yesterday, Dom. And Mike made a little bit of a gaffe. He actually made an ethnic slur. And I just want your thoughts on this, Dom. Take a listen.
Anyway, let me know next time you're down at the Polak Club.
Okay.
I want to come buy you some cheap wine. Hey, I have a mob name for Nikki Haley.
Can you say the Polak Club? I don't even know. Are you allowed to say that? Is that a thing? Like, is that okay?
No. What happens at the PAC stays at the PAC.
I feel like you just used an ethnic slur on the show, and I'm gonna get feedback from the Polish community.
Uh-oh.
The Polish American community.
I'm sorry about that.
I'll see you at the Polish Club at some point. The Polish Club. My buddy just texted me.
The YouTube chat said big producer Dan Borowski might have an issue with it.
Well, there was one the other day, Dan, like this on CNN, where the guy, he was older, and he said, dear. He was a Trump representative.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Right.
To a female?
Yeah. And as a host, you're put in this position. Look, we don't want to be scolds. We don't want to be nanny. We don't want to be correcting on this. And if you were just out there and you said that, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't go to a guy, hey, are you sure you want to say Polak? Dan's standing here.
Is Big Dan offended? Big Dan can weigh in right now.
Exactly.
Well, I'll see if I can get him on the line.
That's so funny.
I missed a call yesterday.
Okay.
You know what? Polak is indeed offensive. It's an offensive term. It's not a slur, I wouldn't say. Back in the late 19th century, it was used to just determine it was a Polish male. A Polak was a Polish male, but then as immigration happened, and Polish people were the poorer immigrants, it became a slur where they were saying, you know, those Polaks, they would say it like that. And then you heard, you know, Archie with the meathead and all that, and kind of spurned into becoming a slur. But I think it's okay for Mike to drop the Polak Club, right? Or no?
No, it's not.
No?
No. And look, if I get one more of these people that just want to live in their own world, I'm not going to make the end of the world of it, Dan, and say you're clutching your pearls. Let's give it up a little bit here. You know, you shouldn't go around saying Polak.
Yeah.
Is it offensive in the real? No, but come on. I mean, why do you think he just doesn't? It's just a common expression.
I think he just meant the Polish club. And but Mike, offensive, man.
Henry, you rule on this finally. What do you say?
I feel like I can't speak on this unless I'm Polish, but I don't know. I don't think it's that bad.
I'm in a weird spot here because I'm not personally offended, but I'm not really offended at much any time. But I know some of my Port Richmond folk are out there saying, Dan, you know, you got to stick up for the Poles right now and, you know, take issue with Mike.
Well, the test is this. When you have a group, has a group arrived where saying something about them is not really going to diminish them? That's been the argument.
Yeah.
Have they arrived enough and who would they be? And then, if you're one of that tribe and you say something,
I just don't know what to call myself, and if not a Polak,
Polish,
in a positive manner.
Yeah,
I'm a Polish.
Dan, then we have this whole quack of people out there that go wild if somebody says they're a Polish American, Italian American.
Yeah,
I know it's cumbersome. Why say that? Just say an American. It gets to be a little bit. I think it was funny in the end the way it played out. But yeah,
that's all I got for Dan time.
If you object, send all things to the Borowski defamation league.
I'm a weak fighter, apparently.
All I know is at one point, now Henry kind of is a double up here. We had the three ethnic groups covered. Jim Kelly, nothing more ethnic than that. Dominic Joseph Giordano, pretty ethnic. And Daniel Borowski, very ethnic. We had the three big groups covered.
Where is Machete? Oh, I know what it is.
There was an Italian in there somewhere.
I'm Italian, but you know, Italians. They weren't getting work over here. Like, oh shoot, we gotta sound French. Let's make it sound French.
I didn't know that fully. Okay. Yeah. Well, that is really Italian then when you had to change the name.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Machete, right?
Yeah, Machete.
An awesome last name.
Why don't you go with that then?
Right, Henry Machete.
Okay, so there's a controversy within my family on how the spelling actually was. Because if you look at like old documents, they spell it one way, but then like later years they spelled it a different way, and it was like, all right, we don't know what the actual kind of spelling of it is, so it's been hesitant to kind of change it back because you want to get it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
YouTube chat's going after me saying, just call yourself an American, Dan. You were right when you said that.
See, well, why do people think that we don't get, that we want to hear that. You know, I mean, that's why you can't have fun with it. That's the type of thing you're going to get. Do I say I'm an Italian American? No, I don't. The Sons of Italy.
Well, kicked you say
me.
You're an Italian, though.
Yeah, I do. The Sons of Italy, though, kicked me out like 50 years ago by some of the stuff I've said.
So. You're in the Italian American Hall of Fame.
Well, that's true. Yeah, I just want to be in the American Hall of Fame. Oh, God. I try to go
former
by
president.
Dan, if the person likes it, they're Italian American, they like all that stuff, I try to say, whatever, fine. I'm not going to, it's nothing either way.
All right, you just call me meathead. How about that?
But when a guy calls in a radio show, 50,000 watts, and says Pollock, it does make you pause for a minute.
Yeah.
The Pollocks are over there.
Mike, watch
maybe,
your language.
Maybe that's the answer, then. It's not okay.
Let me know next time you're down at the Pollock Club.
Ugh.
See, there's gradients. Why do we think that one seems to be lower than, I'm not going to say the other one even, the D word for Italians.
Yeah. Or the G word.
Yes. Well, yeah. No, Guido's okay.
Guido's fine?
Yeah, unless you're saying...
I honestly think Guido's on the level of the one that we're talking about here.
That probably is.
Yeah.
Yes. The other one...
I think the D word's
is more intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And everybody has to grade. And it depends on why the person's saying it to you. And, I think my father was called a spaghetti bender. That's what he... who comes up with
that's
this?
That's a great
who's,
nickname.
Who's bending spaghettis? What the heck? All right. Big 2 o'clock hour. Hey, fine. That was a good Dan time today. Refreshing. All right. 855-839-1210. Money Melody coming up and your calls here on Talk Radio 1210.
Let me know next time you're down at the Pollock.
Dom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.